This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Thrive Suite Productions. And welcome back to This Day in Sports History. It's February 13th, and on this day in 1977, speed skater Eric Heiden did something that no American had ever been able to accomplish. Now, if you're a fan of the Olympics, then you are probably familiar with the name Eric Heiden and his winning 5 gold medals in the 1980 Winter Olympics in speed skating. He, along with the U.S. Olympic hockey team, were the heroes in Lake Placid that year. But 3 years earlier, Eric Heiden was definitely not a household name, and in fact was little known outside of speed skating circles, pun intended. Heiden was an 18-year-old college freshman competing on the other side of the globe in the Netherlands in the World All-Around Speed Skating Championships over the span of 2 days. Now, as the name suggests, this was a test of speed skaters in 4 different distances. On day one, Heiden won the 500-meter event, the shortest of the 4 distances. His follow-up to that later in the day was a third-place finish in the 1500-meter to put him in a good spot heading into day 2. Now, day 2, here on the 13th, featured the grueling distances of the 5000-meter and the 10000-meter. That converts to 9.3 miles of speed skating in a single day. Heiden may have held back a little bit in the 5000, finishing 9th in the event. Entering the 10,000-meter, the final event of the competition, he held a slim cumulative lead over 2 Norwegians, and there were not many who thought he could skate fast enough to hang on to his tiny margin. Now, remember, this is long track speed skating on a 400-meter oval. There are only 2 competitors on the ice at one time. You get 1 race at each distance to set your time. Now, pairing with someone who can push you and extract valuable tenths of seconds is crucial. If you're, paired with somebody that isn't going to be nipping at your heels, it takes a special kind of concentration and effort to keep that winning pace and not just relax. Now, Heiden got a really good pairing for the final 10,000-meter event with the Dutchman Piet Kleine, the defending world champion who was in the other lane. Heiden also knew the time to beat. Jan Egil Storholt had set a time of nearly 15 minutes flat previously. If Heiden could post a time under 15 minutes, he would be the champion. Heiden was able to match Kleine nearly blade for blade during his heat, and then he pulled away to win by more than a second, posting one of just 3 sub-15-minute times in the 10,000-meter, and he secured the all-around world championship, becoming the first American to win the world title. Heiden would duplicate his feat in both 78 and 79 before skating into Olympic fame with 5 gold medals in the 1980 Olympiad. His success in 1980 can draw a direct line back to the world title he won on this day in 1977. Interesting fact, his sister Beth was competing in the women's all-around in Keystone, Colorado at the same time. Beth won the 3,000-meter distance but finished just off the all-around podium in 4th place. Also on this day in 1954, Furman's Frank Selvey became the only player in NCAA basketball history to score 100 points in a game. Selvey hit 41 of 66 shots on the night, and of course, this was long before the 3-point shot was a thing. He also hit 18 of 22 free throws as 4,000 people jammed into Textile Hall to watch the game while many others watched on television. It was the first live television broadcast of a game that had been done in South Carolina. Selvey gave the crowd everything they wanted, hitting his final shot with just seconds to go, draining a 40-foot rainbow to give him triple digits. In 1990, Larry Bird's pursuit of Calvin Murphy's consecutive free throw streak ended at 71, coming up just short of setting a new NBA mark. Murphy's record of 78 consecutive free throws would stand for another 3 years until Minnesota's Michael Williams hit 97 in a row. And in 1968, the finals of the women's luge event concluded with the East Germans finishing first, second, and fourth. But an official accused the East Germans of cheating by heating their runners, which would make them faster. All three women were disqualified. The East Germans denied any wrongdoing and said it was a Western capitalist plot. And they may have been right. A Stasi document uncovered in 2006 revealed the official who made the call to disqualify allegedly had been bribed by West German officials. That's all for today. More tomorrow on This Day in Sports History.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.